Welcome to Signal Noise Weekly. I'm your editor. This week, missiles, markets, and a media blackout on the right that's honestly stunning.
And we have prediction market data that is genuinely wild this week.
The Netanyahu framing alone could be its own episode.
It could, but we're doing all of it. Let's go. Okay, big picture. The U.S. launched a second night of strikes on Iran. Ceasefire broke down. And then Trump signaled a peace deal was close. All in the same week.
Same week.
Yeah, and the whiplash in the coverage is... it's instructive. Because different outlets froze on very different moments.
Strategist, start with the strikes framing. What were outlets actually leading with?
So CENTCOM framed the strikes as a response to Iran's unwarranted and continued aggression. That's a very specific word choice. Unwarranted.
It's doing a lot of work, that word.
It front-loads American legitimacy. Before you even get to the action, you've been told this is defensive. That's the frame.
And how did outlets receive that frame?
Most center and center-left outlets took it more or less straight. But here's the thing. Hegseth pre-announced the strikes. That's unusual.
Unusually unusual. You don't pre-announce military action unless you want the psychological effect of the announcement itself.
The announcement is the strike in some ways.
That's exactly right. Strong and clear. He said it before the bombs dropped.
Okay, but here's where I want to push back on something. The narrative count tells a different story than the frames do.
Forecaster, break that down.
So we've got 29 sources on the initial Apache helicopter story, 24 on the peace deal signal, 22 on the second night of strikes, 21 on Trump retracting the threat.
That's a compression. The war story and the peace story almost overlapping in source count.
Almost identical, which means the media didn't really pick a lane. They were covering the chaos, not the strategy.
Is that a failure or just accurate reflection of what actually happened?
Honestly, maybe both.
I think it's a failure of context. Nobody was asking, what changed between strike night one and Trump saying peace deal is close?
What did change?
We don't actually know. And that's the problem.
The markets knew something, though, or thought they did.
We're going to get to the markets, but first, Netanyahu. Because the framing on him is a whole different story. Strategist, you flagged the France 24 coverage.
Yeah, so France 24 ran with humiliated, failed war leader. That's not a neutral descriptor.
That's an editorial verdict dressed as a news summary.
It is. And what's notable is right-leaning outlets are completely absent from this story.
Completely?
Not a single right-leaning outlet in the Netanyahu coverage set. Zero.
Okay, so is that a blind spot? Or are they just not interested in a story that makes their preferred leader look bad?
Both, forecaster. That's called a motivated blind spot.
It's a great term. The selection itself is editorial.
Right, and the Israeli parliament dissolution market, it's sitting at 2.2%. Money is not betting Netanyahu falls.
Interesting. So the markets don't believe the humiliated frame has structural consequences.
The markets are saying, this is noise. He survives.
I'd push back on that read slightly. A 2.2% chance of dissolution isn't zero.
It's basically zero.
Politically speaking, 2.2 is noise.
Okay, let's talk Ukraine. Because this is where the week gets interesting in terms of what got missed.
Oh, the blind spot here is significant.
230 square miles retaken. Drone campaign intensifying. ISW calling it a new phase of the war. And the right, strategist?
Right-leaning outlets largely didn't cover it. That's the blind spot flagged this week.
230 square miles. That's not a footnote. That's a battlefield shift.
And here's the editorial logic. If you've been framing Ukraine as a lost cause or a money pit, a significant Ukrainian advance is a problem for your narrative.
Is that too cynical? Maybe they just had Iran wall to wall.
That's a fair point. Iran was dominant this week across the board.
But the New York Times covered both. Foreign Policy covered both. ISW covered both. It can be done.
Right. Iran didn't crowd out Ukraine for everyone. Just for some.
Selection is editorial. What you choose not to cover is a choice.
The forecaster's first law of media. Absence is data.
I'm putting that on a mug. Okay. Zelensky asking Trump for missiles. That's the other Ukraine story. And that one had some interesting framing gaps, too.
So Al Jazeera and France 24 had the strikes and the missile request. The Guardian led with the missile ask. And again, right-leaning outlets are missing.
Which is, look, if Zelensky is calling Trump's envoy talks very positive, that's actually a story that helps Trump. Why wouldn't the right cover it?
Because it also implies Zelensky needs more from Trump. And the dominant right frame has been, we've given enough.
So even a pro-Trump angle gets cut because the surrounding story is inconvenient.
Exactly. The whole package is uncomfortable. So the whole package gets skipped.
That's wild. That's leaving a friendly headline on the table.
That's how you know it's instinct, not strategy. Okay, blind spot segment. This week's biggest miss, and honestly, there are several. Forecaster, run them.
Right side blind spots this week. Ukraine's 230 square mile advance. Amazon security research leading to a White House ban on Anthropic's Fable AI. OpenAI multi-state investigation into ChatGPT and young users. Belfast anti-racism rally, thousands in the streets. A judge blocking national parks from removing slavery depictions.
That's a lot of misses.
Five significant stories, 1 week, same direction.
The Anthropic ban one is particularly strange. That's a story about the White House restricting an AI company. That should be red meat for a certain kind of right-leaning tech coverage.
Unless it's the Trump White House doing the restricting. And Anthropic is the villain in the usual narrative. So the ban reads as good news, and you don't explain good news.
That's actually really sharp.
The strategist overreads the frame, but in this case, I think they're right.
Did you just agree with me by first insulting me?
It's efficient.
Okay. What the money thinks. Forecaster, you have the floor.
Okay, so the biggest move this week has nothing to do with Iran. Susan Collins, main Senate endorsement from Trump, jumped 28 points in 1 week, sitting at 97.5%.
28 points?
28 in 7 days. That's not a drift. That's a signal. Something happened or something was said privately that the market caught before the press did.
That's interesting, because I don't recall seeing major Collins Trump reporting this week.
That's the point. The market moved and the media didn't follow.
So either there's inside information or someone is very confident about something that hasn't been announced yet.
Exactly. Meanwhile, OpenAI IPO. Market cap under $500 billion on IPO day, only 5.7% chance, which means money is very confident OpenAI prints above $500 billion.
That feels optimistic, given the multi-state investigation news that's in the blind spot category this week.
The market either doesn't know yet or doesn't care. Investigations are slow, IPOs are fast.
And Claude 5, that was in the markets too?
90.5% chance Claude 5 releases by June 12. That window is closing. Either it happened this week or that market is about to collapse.
Anthropic is having a busy week. White House ban, Claude 5 release window, Amazon security research drama.
And barely any media coverage on the right.
That's actually a coherent gap. The AI story and the blind spot story connect.
Yeah, if you're not covering the OpenAI investigation and you're not covering the Anthropic ban, you're essentially giving the AI governance story a total pass.
Which is odd because AI regulation is something that affects a lot of conservative constituents.
The audience and the coverage aren't always aligned. That's the whole show. Okay, rapid fire. Three stories, fast. SpaceX IPO, go.
$350 billion valuation, biggest IPO potentially in US history. And the kicker, Musk fled California, but California still gets its tax money.
The headline writes itself. Left California, payday didn't.
Forbes basically used that. What's the framing gap?
The relocation was a political statement. The tax reality undermines it. Most outlets covered the irony. The story is in the gap between the rhetoric and the math.
California employees, California equity, California tax. The border crossing was symbolic.
Okay, Pope Leo, Spanish Parliament, go.
First papal address to the Spanish legislature. Historic. Leo called for moral renewal. NPR covered the speech on its own terms. NYT paired Leo and Sanchez as figures both navigating institutional criticism.
That's a pretty loaded pairing. Pope and a left-leaning prime minister sharing a frame?
That's the frame doing work. NPR, historic speech. NYT, two embattled leaders finding common ground. Same event, two different stories.
And the right didn't cover it.
Which is wild given he's the first American pope.
American pope? You'd think that's a story for everyone.
You'd think. Trump voter fraud claims California primary. Fast.
Mail ballots. Red mirage. Spencer Pratt led on election night. Nithya Raman overtook him. Completely normal California count sequence. Trump called it fraud.
The red mirage is documented, predictable, and has been explained for years. The fraud claim has no evidence.
No evidence. And yet, baseless appeared in some headlines. Fraud claims appeared in others. How you label it matters enormously.
Calling it baseless in the headline is itself a frame. A true one, but still a choice.
That's the tension. Accuracy versus the appearance of neutrality.
I'll take accurate. The claim is baseless.
The forecaster trusts the numbers. Shocking. Okay, what to watch next week? Each of us, one thing. Strategist, go.
Watch how the Iran peace deal framing evolves. If Trump claims a win, how do left-leaning outlets cover it? Do they credit him? Do they contextualize the strikes first?
That's a real tell. The sequencing of the narrative will say a lot.
Good one. Forecaster.
The Susan Collins endorsement. 97.5% probability, and the press hasn't caught up. Watch for the announcement, and watch how fast the coverage moves once it happens.
28-point swing and still not a headline. That's the market screaming and the media not listening.
That's our whole show in one data point. My watch. The GSK Nuvalent deal. $10.6 billion, biggest pharma acquisition in a decade, and it's basically only getting center-left coverage.
Why does a pharma deal have ideological coverage gaps?
Because lung cancer drugs, FDA review, biopharma M&A, that's a regulation story underneath. And regulation stories have a side.
Everything is a regulation story if you look hard enough.
The strategist's first law of media.
I'll take it.
That's the week. Iran, Ukraine, a papal address, Musk's tax bill, and a prediction market that knew about Susan Collins before anyone wrote a word.
The money was ahead of the story, as usual.
The frame was set before most people read a headline.
That's Signal Noise. We do this every week, and you can read the full analysis, source breakdowns, and bias maps at s2n.news. See you next week.